So I'm here in the parking lot at King Supers, and my friend just sent me this tweet that someone posted. This woman, she got to a parking lot just like this, and she was about to go inside, and then she heard kind of someone calling behind her. And she turned around, and she saw that there was this older couple who was sitting in their car, and they were waving her over. And so she came over, and they rolled down the window just a crack and said, "Will you go buy us some groceries? We're too scared to go inside." They said, "We've been waiting 45 minutes, and we've been struggling to figure out who to ask, but we seem to trust you." So this woman said yes. She took their $100, they passed her a grocery list, she went inside, she got their groceries, she loaded it in their trunk, and the couple was so thankful. And that story gets to me because there are so many people right now that are so scared, and they don't have someone to turn to. They don't have a family member nearby. They don't have a social circle, a community circle to rely on. And so they're wondering whether or not they can do this by themselves. And it's in these moments where we have to recognize that we live in a society in which our answer has been profoundly yes. You will have to do it by yourself. And that's why our faith as Unitarian Universalists tells us this different story. It says that actually, that all of us need all of us to survive. As my colleague, the Reverend Teresa Soto, wrote, that we're all in this together. So what does that mean in the face of this coronavirus? So I'm going inside. Not sure what I'm going to find. I mean, as I expected, the shelves are kind of bare. And there's something that happens in these moments where we're faced by this really invisible threat. I mean, this virus that we can't see, we don't know where it's coming from. It puts everyone into suspicion. And so our kind of natural reaction is to latch on to things that are visible. So for some people, that's the racism and xenophobia that has fueled, you know, increased hate crimes and discrimination against Asian people in this country. For others, maybe for most of us, it's a sense of needing to be prepared. And so we go out, we fill our baskets with as much toilet paper as we can, although now they're saying you only can get three. But the question that's coming to my mind, at least, is how much is enough? And we get to a place of almost hoarding. So as I've been walking around, there's been one story from the Bible that I can't really get out of my head. And it's a story in which Jesus, he's in the desert, he's been teaching for 3 days, his disciples are there, but also this crowd has been gathering for days. There's thousands of people who are there. And his disciples come to them and they say, "Can you send them home? Can you send all of these people home because we don't have enough food for them?" And Jesus says, "No." And his disciples are coming again and they say, "We have 7 loaves of bread and 7 fishes. That's all. Can you send these people home?" And Jesus says, "No." And so what does he do? He takes the bread and he takes the fishes and he gives thanks for them. And then he tells his disciples to go out and to give them to everyone. And they do it. And of course, the miracle is that they take the baskets back that had the bread and the fish, and there's enough for the disciples to eat. And if you're into magic, you might think that the miracle was that Jesus somehow multiplied the loaves. But what I think it was the power of seeing someone like Jesus, a leader, step forward and say, "I'm taking what I have and I'm sharing it." Because the people had been there for 3 days. They'd been in the desert. They probably brought food with them for the journey. But because it was getting to the end of their time, they were kind of hoarding it. They were keeping it back. They were worried that they wouldn't have enough. And so when they saw Jesus saying, "You know, I'm going to trust that I'm going to have enough," they pulled out what they had squandered away and offered it up so that everyone might have enough. And there's a lesson there. I think it's the choice that we have right now as a community. The choice to say, "I'm going to survive, or we're going to survive. Because in the moments like these, especially for people who are at risk, none of us are going to survive alone. And none of us should let someone else try. It's the work of community to lean in and say, we're all in this together. And I'm going to risk investing in community rather than hoarding what I have. That's what the call of courageous love calls me to do. It's to answer the call from an elderly couple in the car, but it's also to offer up that roll of toilet paper that you don't really need to your neighbor who probably does.
So I just finished my shop, and as I was walking out, I looked around the parking lot, and I saw at least 3 cars with older adults sitting in them alone, waiting. What struck me was, we're in this moment that's almost entirely defined by risk. Not just the risk of the disease and contracting it, but the risk of who we become. If we become like the disciples who wanted to hoard, or if we became like the people in the crowd, ready and willing to give what they had so that all might have enough. And it struck me as a young person, as a millennial, that, you know, I have a specific role to play. I mean, we're doing online worship. You're watching this right now online, a medium that is comfortable for me, but not for many others. We're in a moment in which my risk of going to the grocery store is far less than many of you watching your risk of going to the grocery store. And so how we deal with that risk, what risks we're willing to take, and if we can trust our community to hold us, which is especially hard for communities of people who have been repeatedly let down by our society and told in one way or another that they don't matter. I guess my hope and my prayer is that in moments like this, we can start to rewrite that story. The story that says if you're older or disabled or chronically ill, that you don't matter. The story that says that we're ready to leave you behind at the first sign of trouble. It's our work to rewrite that story, and we do that every minute of every day. And so we're going to get face to face with risk, and we're going to have to find a way to deal with the anxiety of this moment so that it doesn't rule the day, because the consequences of that will be dear. But from what I'm seeing, as I was walking around King Soopers, I felt like I had the same conversation with so many people. And at the end of the conversation, I heard myself say, and I heard other people say, I hope you found what you were looking for. And I realized that's the wrong question. The question isn't, did I find what I'm looking for? But I hope we find that we are the community that we've been looking for.